Welcome to the Launch Grow Joy Show, where entrepreneurs learn how to launch a business and grow it with joy. And now, here's your host, Andrea Ayers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Launch Grow Joy Show. My name is Andrea Ayers of LaunchGrowJoy.com, and I am so excited to be here with you today. This is episode 29. I cannot believe it that we are already at episode 29. Before you know it, we'll be at episode 100 and 200 and 300, and I couldn't be more excited to spend my Wednesdays with you and sharing this podcast with you. So before we get started with today's very exciting and informative episode, I have to say that my goal with this podcast was to launch one new podcast a week. And I did that for a while, but unfortunately, over the last month or so, I have not been able to get a podcast out for a couple of reasons. And I wanted to apologize about that. I know you are all expecting to hear what's going on, to get an episode every week, but I had podcast schedule sometimes two a week. And for some reason, either I had to cancel them or the person on the other end that I was interviewing had to cancel, or sometimes the timing was wrong and we just couldn't record the episodes. And on top of that, I had an ongoing cough for about a month. So some of the interviews I had to cancel because I was just coughing all the time and I didn't think you would want to hear me cough during the podcast. So unfortunately, I haven't been able to get any podcast out to you over the last month or so. So I do apologize about that. My goal is to really have this ready to go for all of you to listen to every week, and this is today's episode. So I am happy to be back after about a month of no podcast. So today's episode I'm really excited about because I am talking with Steve Chow of MyWifeQuitHerJob.com and BumblebeeLinens.com. And the reason I wanted to bring Steve on is actually I was on his podcast about, maybe a few months ago, maybe three, 4 months ago, and he really walks the talk. He not only has an e-commerce store that he runs with his wife, but he also teaches entrepreneurs how to grow their sales online and how to get more traffic to their online store. So I am very excited to chat with Steve today. He will be sharing with you a lot of great information, including how he first got started, what sort of traffic driving methods have worked for him. We're going to talk about Facebook ads and pay-per-click traffic and a couple of other strategies that they have used. And for all of today's show notes, make sure to head on over to launchgrowjoy.com/029 for episode 29. So without further ado, here's Steve, and I will be back with you at the end of the show to wrap up. Enjoy the podcast interview, everyone. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm excited to have you on. Last time we talked, I was on your podcast and you were interviewing me about my business and my experience. And now the tables have turned and I'm excited to interview you and to hear a little bit more about your business as well.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Cool, cool. So I want to, we have a lot to cover in just half an hour, but I know you started your entrepreneurial journey when your wife Jennifer became pregnant and she wanted to stay home with your baby. So can you share a little bit more about how you got started as an entrepreneur and a little bit about your story?
Yes. Ever since the beginning, my wife never really liked her job. And so we were finding, she was basically working because where we live, in order to get a house in a good school district for your kids, you really need two incomes. So what ended up happening is once she became pregnant with our first child, it was like the perfect excuse to quit her job and stay at home with the kids. But we still had that money issue, right? And so what ended up happening was we were just looking for ways where my wife could just stay at home, make some money on the side so that we could still, get a good school, a house in a good school district. And that's how we kind of stumbled upon e-commerce. And we ended up starting our online store, Bumblebee Linens, pretty much at the start of her pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, yeah. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Oh, no. Yeah, go on.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I was reading on your website that Bumblebee Linens replaced your wife's salary within 1 year and you made 100K. So I wanna talk a little bit about that because it's not that easy. I've had two e-commerce sites and it's definitely not that easy to make 100K. So what do you think took you from just starting and experimenting with selling online to having a really successful store?
Yeah, so there's kind of a backstory regarding the products that we were going to sell. And so I'll just briefly go over that. So basically so we sell wedding handkerchiefs in our store. And way back when my wife and I first got married, I remember, we paid a lot of money for photography and she knew she was going to cry. And so we were looking for, she didn't want to use ratty tissues in our photos and that sort of thing. So we were looking for handkerchiefs. And we couldn't find any anywhere in the US. And ultimately, what ended up happening is we found a vendor in China, but the problem was you had to buy a whole bunch. So we ended up buying hundreds and hundreds of handkerchiefs, only used a couple, and then we sold the rest on eBay, and they sold like hotcakes. Okay, and so when it came time for us to start our online store, we kind of got back in touch with that vendor. And we knew they were going to sell because we did the validation on eBay. And so that's kind of how we started our store. So we kind of went into it kind of knowing that things were going to sell and there was demand for the product. Okay,
Okay,
so.
yeah, so you basically had the luxury of testing out your market a little bit before starting.
That's correct. And actually, I advise everyone do that. You should do some sort of validation, whether it be selling on eBay, creating an email list, selling on Amazon, just to make sure your product's going to sell before you actually go through all the trouble of launching your website.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a little bit more than just asking your friends and family if they would actually buy it, right? You have to see if other people other than your friends and family would be willing to buy your product and actually pay you for them.
I think asking your friends and family is probably the worst idea
Yeah.
because they're going to be nice to you, right?
Right. They're
So,
gonna say, oh, that's an amazing idea. Go for it.
yeah. So, I mean, despite all that, though, when we first launched, it's just very slow. You know how things are when you launch your own property, it takes a while for things to catch on. So, when we first launched, our early revenue sources were primarily composed of just pay-per-click services, like Google AdWords and then Yahoo Ads at the time. So,
Okay. Did you already know how to do that before, or did you sort of learn as you went along?
oh, we definitely learned as we went along. We knew nothing about websites. We knew nothing about running a business. My wife and I had never done it before. We had sold on eBay, but that was pretty much it.
Okay, yeah, and I think selling on eBay is quite different than having your own site because in a lot of ways you already have a built-in audience that comes to buy your products and all you pretty much have to do is post your products. But when you had your eBay store, did you do anything other than just listing your products to get traffic to your store, or was it pretty much just the built-in traffic from eBay?
No, it was just the built-in traffic from eBay. We did a good job of making the listings look very good. But outside of that, eBay has its own built-in audience, and pretty much the traffic just comes to you.
Got it, got it. So then once you decided to start your own store, other than pay per click and pay traffic, did you do any PR or any social media or anything else that
Yeah,
worked really well?
We kind of had a three-prong attack going on. So early on, we needed to boost our confidence, and that's kind of where AdWords came in. We wanted sales coming in to just validate our idea that we could actually make some sales. And I still remember my first sale as a result. But on the side, we were also creating content so that we could start ranking organically in search. Problem with that is that it doesn't really kick in until many months later.
Right.
Okay. So it's a long-term play, but we were pumping out content. We were actually catering to the wedding crowd at the time. We were putting out content on how to create fun wedding crafts using handkerchiefs and some of the other linens that we were selling in our store. That sort of traffic did not actually kick in until 6 months later going in.
Okay, so then when you were creating that content, what were some of the keywords that you were trying to rank for, or did you know about keyword research and use that as well, or were you just sort of thinking, well, this is what someone might be searching for when they're looking for the type of product that we were offering?
Yes, so we were actually using the AdWords, or it was called the Google Keyword Tool back then. We were using that just as a measure of which keywords were getting the most searches, and we would try to target those. But in terms of, so there was two different types of keyword research we were doing. For the content pages, we were trying to rank for keywords using craft ideas using our products. Whereas for our products, we were using different permutations, synonyms, so to speak, of the keywords we were trying to target for a particular product category. So basically, we were trying to rank the product the category pages on our online store, and as well as rank the content pages on our site, which we would then use to funnel over to our online store.
Got it. So I hope everyone's listening to that, because I think that's really important. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on with SEO and Google, and it's always changing. The keyword planner is gone. It's now replaced with something else. But I do think a lot of those strategies still work today. So I'm really glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, they definitely do work today. It's just a long-term thing that you should be doing on the side. You might not see the rewards right away, but it will eventually come. It might not be until 6 months later. It might not be until a year later. But that long-term content marketing is very important for your shop.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm so glad you said that, because I always recommend that everyone who reads Launch, Grow, Joy or who signs up for my courses, I always recommend that they have a blog for the purpose of not only to connect with their audience and share information and give maybe behind the scenes, but also to use their blog as a tool for that content strategy that I think is really, really important, especially for e-commerce sites.
Yeah, so what's really important is once you have the content, that's fine. You can funnel people over to your shop, but it's very important to gather email addresses for your shop. So a lot of times people reading your content, they might not be ready to buy right away. But if you continually give them good content that they want to read, so we put out craft pages and fun crafts, craft instructions that they can use, you know, for their wedding or whatnot. And that way, when it actually comes time for them to buy a product, they'll think of you first and they'll come to your store.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I do agree that building your list and starting to gather email addresses is really important. But are there any things that you've done in the past that have worked really well in terms of helping to build your list and grow your audience that way?
Okay, so I guess I didn't finish the third prong, which was actually the most important one of all, in terms of generating early sales. We can go back to this email marketing in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really put us over the edge that first year was the legwork. So we started contacting event planners, wedding planners, people who would buy our products in bulk and on a consistent basis. And the reason why I wanted to emphasize this point is because a lot of people who launch e-commerce stores, they kind of just wait around waiting for the Google spigot to kind of open up and deliver search engine traffic.
Yeah.
But really, a lot of your early sales are going to come from the legwork, right? You got to start building up that little snowball, and so that once it starts rolling, it gets bigger and bigger. But you have to put in the legwork early on to generate your early sales.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that actually reminds me of when I first launched my t-shirt website. Literally the first weekend that my site was up, I sat there and built a list of over 3,000 yoga studios. And at that time, my main market was yoga studio owners and people who did yoga. And I literally sat there for like 12 hours a day, you know, Saturday and Sunday, building this email list. But once I started reaching out to the yoga studios the following week, that's when I started seeing some of my sales come in, or at least some of my initial sales. So I'm really glad you brought that up too, because I think so many e-commerce owners, they think that the hardest part is putting up your site and taking product photos and launching. And that's definitely not an easy thing to do. I think that takes a lot of work, but it's really important what you do afterwards to get your site out there and to build those relationships and to connect, like you were mentioning. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
And the best part, and we can use your example of yoga studios, is that those people are repeat customers. You're not going to lose them.
Yeah.
They're not one-off customers, right? And so those are your most valuable customers of all.
I totally agree with you, and I'm really glad you mentioned that. And I had another question for you in terms of your product. So you said that you ordered a whole bunch of products in bulk from China. Mm-hmm. Do you still do that now? Do you carry inventory?
Yes.
You also personalize a lot of items. How do you work through all of that?
Yeah, so we carry inventory because it carries a lot of advantages. So for one thing, the margins are really high.
Yep.
And because we personalize, and when you personalize an item, the margins are even higher. But in order to do that, you kind of have to have the product on hand. And when you carry inventory also, it's much easier to manage customer service. So
yeah.
I'll give you a couple examples. So let's say someone contacts us and says they are unhappy with the product. Because of our margins and because we carry our own inventory, we can just essentially let them keep the product for free. That's what we do a lot of times.
Yeah.
If you don't carry your inventory, if you're drop shipping, your margins aren't high enough for you to have that luxury. So.
Yep, I see. So that's definitely one advantage to having your own inventory. So do you have your own maybe like embroidery machine in-house, or basically what happens when someone places an order for, mm-hmm. let's say, a personalized napkin? How do you take that from the online order to actually shipping it?
Yes, so we have an embroiderist in-house. So we have an office space where we house all our inventory, and we have two employees. We have three industrial embroidery machines now. We didn't start out like that, obviously. Early on, we only had one. Now we have three. And basically, it's pretty straightforward. An order comes in. Someone types up the design on a computer, and then it's sent over to the embroidery machine. Someone loads the embroidery machine, and then out comes the personalized item.
I see. Okay. And at what point did you decide to invest in your own embroidery machine? I know when I had my t-shirt business, there were times when I thought about, should I get my own screen printing equipment and set up my own screen printing shop, or should I still continue with my screen printer? And for me, it made more sense to continue to hire out my screen printing. But mm-hmm. at what point did you decide that it was worth investing and moving forward in your business that way?
So there's kind of a funny story, or it might not be funny for my wife. So embroidery used to be one of my wife's hobbies.
Oh, okay.
And so before we bought the industrial strength machine, we actually had a machine in-house. It wasn't meant for business use, but in the beginning, you know, my wife actually enjoyed doing those things. And then one day I was like, hey, you know, perhaps we should sell these things. And she went along with it, and the problem was is that when we started selling it, it was no longer fun for her.
I see.
And I actually ended up ruining her hobby.
Oh, no.
But, you know, they ended up selling really well, and at that point, it was pretty much a no-brainer to buy the industrial strength machine. When we compared prices for, you know, fulfillment, you know, having someone else do it, the numbers didn't quite add up, and more importantly, the hassle and trouble of delivering the product to them and then getting it back was just too much of a hassle.
Yeah, I see. I agree with that too. And I remember that too from my t-shirt days, where I had to go in and do screen printing checks and, you know, and all of that stuff. But still for me, because I had a baby and excuse me, and all of that at the same time, it still made more sense. But you're right. It's whatever works for you and however you want to set up your business to make it fit within your life and what you're interested in. I think that's the whole reason we're entrepreneurs, right? To make it work for us.
Yes. And that being said, though, we still have partners who mm-hmm. do embroidery in mass quantity. So every now and then we'll get an order for like 200 or 300 personalized pieces. And we actually do contract those out because it's the same design on every piece of fabric.
Yeah.
And those are the things that are ideal for outsourcing.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So now I'm wondering too, do you still have your full-time job? I know are you still working full-time?
I do, yeah.
You
I
do. So I'm curious to know, because you also run another website that's sort of, and I want to get into that a little bit too, but now in addition to Bumblebee Linens, you also run My Wife Quit Her Job or mywifequit.com, and you have a full-time job. So how do you manage the e-commerce store with your blog and your podcast? I know you have a podcast and your full-time job. And what are there any I guess tasks that your wife is in charge of, any things that's your duty to do? So how do you guys split that up and work together to make it all come together so easily?
Well, it's not easily. I mean, that's a strong term for that. But so my wife's basically in charge of everything online store related in terms of operations. I handle all the tech stuff. So I am an electrical engineer. I do that for a living, and I design microprocessors and that sort of thing. That's what I do during the day. And then I run the blog, and I run an online store course where I teach others about e-commerce. And then I run the podcast. But surprisingly, those things don't take up all that much time.
Okay.
And so here's my thought process. So we had this e-commerce store that was generating a lot of money, and I also wanted to create another sort of web property where I could get my name out there, and I knew it would be a much slower ramp to a lot of money. you know, going the blog route, it takes a lot longer. But, you know, I was willing to just kind of take a 5-year outlook on that,
mm-hmm.
just gradually generate revenue over time, build a name for myself, put out great content, and perhaps sell info products someday. And so it took about three or four years for that to happen. And today, you know, the blog and the other properties actually make more than my day job.
Oh, wow. Today. Interesting. So do you still plan on keeping your day job?
Yeah, so I get asked that all the time, and all the different businesses in my day job use different parts of the brain. So e-commerce uses one part of the brain, writing for the blog and podcasting is more of the creative side, and then I want to keep my foot in tech. So I design a lot. I design like the technology that goes into all of the devices that we use today, like the iPhone, digital cameras, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I almost feel like tech is taking over, and so I want to keep my foot in that door.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. And I think as long, you know, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs maybe start their entrepreneurial journey because they don't necessarily enjoy their job and they want out. But I think when you do find a job that you love and enjoy, why leave, right? Why start over, or why leave that behind when you're really enjoying it and it's a part of what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I really like my job because it's very flexible. They're very understanding, and a lot of my boss has kids, and everyone has kids, so, you know, shuttling kids around is not unusual where I work.
Yeah, so they know about both of your websites and everything else that you do on the side, right?
They do, actually, yes. Yes.
Oh, how cool. That's awesome. That's really cool. So I want to backtrack a little bit and talk about making mistakes. I know as an entrepreneur, I know I've made a ton of mistakes. And I think with e-commerce, it's even more, you're more likely to make mistakes. So
yes.
I'm wondering, has there been a time when you made a huge mistake over the last few years? And if so, what was that mistake and what did you learn from it?
Yes. So if you look in our garage today, we still have stuff that has not sold for 7 years. And the reason for that is because we never validated the product before we made a bulk order. And so this applies to anyone in e-commerce. Make sure you try to sell something. It doesn't have to be sell it on eBay. You can just try to generate some demand for it by creating some sort of landing page for that product to see if people are even interested in it, post on forums, whatever. Make sure that you can sell the product before you commit to a larger order.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Which actually brings me to my other question about inventory. I
okay.
know this is a question that I get asked all the time, especially for people that are just starting out and they think about how many pieces should I start off with. I know when I first started my t-shirt business, I wanted to only invest $1,000 and see where that took me. So that kind of made it easy. When I picked the t-shirt I wanted to go with, I knew I could only buy a certain amount because I only had $1,000. But how did you decide how much inventory to get? And what would you recommend for other entrepreneurs that are struggling to decide how to balance, you know, bringing new product to market with how much of it to buy? How do you forecast all of that, and what do you do?
I mean, it obviously takes time for you to be able to forecast your demand. And we can do that now because we've been in business for so many years. But in the beginning, I always tell my students to buy as little inventory as possible and just kind of gradually work your way up. And a lot of people who sign up for my course, they want to start importing and that sort of thing right away. But a lot of the times the problem is that the minimum order quantities tend to be higher. So especially if you're designing your own product or if you're making your own clothing or apparel and that sort of thing, I would actually recommend that you start out in the US. Get stuff made in lower quantities, take a hit on your margins, find out that everything is going to sell first. And then when you're confident that you can make a bulk order and then you can move that inventory, then start looking overseas and get the manufacturing costs down.
Yes, that is such a good point. And I totally agree with you on that. I remember when I first started, I ended up buying t-shirt blanks because that was, you know, I can buy as little or as much as I wanted, as opposed to if I wanted to have my own t-shirts manufactured, I had to get, I think it was, you know, at least 180 of each color and each size.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds up pretty quickly, you know, before you know it, you have 5,000 shirts in inventory and spending a ton of money. So I'm really glad you mentioned that because I agree with you. I think so much of trying to figure out the inventory is seeing, testing things out, seeing how many people are buying certain things, are certain products selling more than others. And then at some point, you might be ready to make a bigger investment and make your own product. So I'm really glad you mentioned that.
And it's funny, you know, with any online store, there's always going to be these handful of items that sell, that make up the majority of your revenues for your store. And it's just a matter of finding out what those items are and just have those mass produced.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and ask you, because I feel like we have so much of the same experience, because you did e-commerce first and then you launched mywifequit.com. I did e-commerce first and then I launched my Launch Grow Joy website. And sometimes, you know, I have entrepreneurs that have products and they come to me and they say, you know, Andrea, it seems so much easier to launch an info product or to blog and offer a service rather than a product. And I'm wondering, from your experience, which one do you enjoy more? Even though you might enjoy both, you know, both pretty much the same, but is there one that you're leaning towards more or that maybe seems a little easier to make money with? And what would you say to someone who is trying to decide if they should really do an e-commerce with a physical product or go the other route?
So here is my thought process, process on that question. So if you need to make money sooner rather than later, I think e-commerce is the way to go. Because you're selling a product. And so basically, the only way you make money is when you sell something, right?
Right.
And people relate to physical products easier. And a lot of times, especially with Amazon, you can put a product out there and start making money immediately once you have your products in place. Whereas with an info product, you really have to establish your personality and your, you know, a list. You have to develop a following before you can start selling info products. And so I would argue that selling info products is actually a lot more difficult than selling a e-commerce physical product.
I see.
So, yeah. So it really just depends on your time frame. So the reason why we went into e-commerce early on was because we wanted to replace my wife's salary within a year. Whereas when I took my blog and my info product, I gave it like a 3 to 5 year time frame.
I see. Yep. And you know, it's interesting now that you're mentioning that, that kind of is the same thing that happened to me, because I agree, when I first put up my e-commerce store and I, as soon as I started reaching out to those yoga studios, my orders started coming in, and then it was just a matter of growing it from there. But you're right, with my product or Launch Grow Joy, it really, I had to build an audience. I had to build my list. I had to put out a lot of content and connect with my audience before I even created my first product. So that's an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought of it that way. I was just thinking about it more of what do you enjoy to do and how much money do you have to start out with. But I really like the way you described it.
And what's tough about doing any sort of info product or blog is you're not going to see any money for probably the first year. And that's very difficult for a lot of people, right? You're putting your heart and soul into writing this great content. People might be reading it, maybe not in the beginning, but there's no monetary reward associated with in the beginning.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. And then at some point, you're right, though, the info product can even catch up with or exceed the money you're making in your e-commerce store. Yeah, but that's, you're right, that takes time. You have to build your audience. You have to keep going and just keep at it. And I wanted to ask one more thing. I wanted to know a little bit more about your online store course that you're launching. But before that, I'm wondering, with your Bumblebee Linens website, is there anything that you're doing now in terms of driving traffic other than SEO and content marketing? Is there anything, have you tried Facebook ads or
Yes.
any other strategies? And can you tell me a little bit more about that and what's working and what's not working?
So because I write about, you know, growing online stores on my blog, I actually try everything with my online store. My online store is like my little guinea pig in my test laboratory. So if whatever you name, we've probably tried it. So you mentioned Facebook ads. So recently this past year, we started doing Facebook ads. And it's actually a very different beast than Google AdWords. And so the way we got Facebook ads to work, so first of all, it was a logical progression. We first started running ads and trying to ship people directly to our products, that did not convert well at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people are there to just look at content and catch up with their friends, right? They're not ready to buy. So ultimately, what after a lot of experimentation, what that evolved into was we ended up pointing the Facebook ad at an article about weddings where we gave potential brides unique wedding ideas to make their wedding extra special. And in that post, which is a very well-written post, we included photos of our products and some of our craft projects so that if they clicked on the link, they would be taken either to a product page or a craft page. And on that landing page, we would also collect email addresses. And so if people signed up for an email address, we would have an email funnel that was like 12 or 13 steps where they would go down and just keep them informed of our store, talk about our products and that sort of thing on a consistent basis. And we would also retarget those people and show the people who actually looked at our products ads on Facebook for our products.
I see.
Sense? Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So it's easy to think, well, I'm going to drive traffic to my store for people to buy, but it's more than that. You have to build up to that buy and start the relationship and the trust and provide useful content before you ask for the sale. So that makes a lot of sense. And now speaking of this landing page where you send people, how often do you blog for your crafts blog?
So my wife's in charge of that for obvious reasons. I think we only put out content maybe once every other week. It's a little bursty, but we never send out the actual craft blog post, you know, to our entire list. What ends up happening is when my wife writes a craft post, we'll just add it onto the end of an autoresponder sequence, so that every single person ends up seeing that piece of content.
I see. Okay. That's pretty smart, and it sounds like it's working really well for both of you. So I want to wrap up. I think we're almost out of time, but I love when someone is putting out an online course or content where they actually have the results to prove that what they're sharing is actually working, which is why I'm a huge fan of what you're doing, because not only do you have your own e-commerce store, but you teach others how to do it and you share with them what's working, what's not working in your course. So can you share a little bit more about, if someone's interested in maybe signing up for your course or finding out more information, what the course is and where they can find more information?
Yeah, so the course is located at profitableonlinestore.com. But on my blog at mywifequitterjob.com, I actually offer a free 6-day mini course, which basically gives you an intro to e-commerce and pretty much talks about, it gives a high level of what the full-blown course is all about. And, once you go through that, if you're interested in the class, then feel free to check it out and feel free to ask me questions.
Okay, awesome. So for anyone who is interested in getting in touch with you, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you? And I'll put all of these links into the show notes as well.
Okay, yeah. So on Twitter, you can find me at mywifequit, or you can just go on mywifequitterjob.com. There's a contact form there, and feel free to send me emails.
All right. Well, Steve, I learned so much from your journey as an entrepreneur, and I'm so grateful that you took the time today to share that with your audience. So thank you so much for being here today, and I really look forward. I love reading your content, listening to your podcast, and I will actually put a link to your podcast as well in the show notes, because I think you have so many awesome interviews that, that really teach things that people can do right now to grow their traffic, grow their sales, and to really have a successful business. So I'll put the link to your podcast as well. But thanks so much for being with us today. And I really look forward to staying in touch with you, Steve.
It was my pleasure.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I really hope you enjoyed my interview with Steve. I really enjoyed talking to him, and we are actually talking to bring you a couple of free trainings about e-commerce and selling online in the first quarter of the new year. So please stay tuned for that. And for the full show notes, make sure you go to launchgrowjoy.com /029. And before I sign off, I wanted to mention one other thing that I wanted to share with you. But I know a lot of you struggle with setting your goals, with making sure that you have a clear vision of your business, thinking about what will my business look like in 2015 and how is that all going to fit into my life. So I wanted to share with you an amazing planner that I have been using for the last 2 years. This is going to be my third year using it, and it's Leonie Dawson's Create Your Shining Year in Business and Your Life Planners. Now, these are two separate planners, and you can get one or you can get both. One of them is for your business. The other one is for your life, and I usually like to get both because the reason I started my business is so that it can fit into the lifestyle that I want to live with my family and for myself. So having both has really helped me. But these planners are amazing. I actually have been using them to set my goals, to think about, okay, these are my goals. How am I actually going to accomplish them? They're super inspiring, and I highly recommend that everyone get a copy of them on an ongoing basis every year. And to find out more information, you can visit launchgrowjoy.com/2015planner. That's 2015planner, PLANNER. And there you'll find a link to more information. And I'm actually waiting for my print copy this year. I want to record a video for you to walk you through the planner, show you all of the different features. So as soon as my print copy comes in, I will definitely be shooting that video for you. And I have to say, it comes in an e-version and a printed version. And the last 2 years, I've only been getting the electronic version, but, you know, and I print it out and put it in a nice binder. But this year, I wanted to try out the printed version because it's really nicely in a spiral bound, and I am just really looking forward to trying the printed version. But you can get the electronic version. It comes in a PDF. You download it right away so you can get started on planning. And I cannot wait to share with you all of my tips and strategies for 2015 and to do a video review of Leonie's planner. So to get your copy, head on over to launchgrowjoy.com/2015planner, and I would love to know what you think about it. So once you get your copy of it, let me know. Shoot me an email at launchgrowjoy.com or launchgrowjoy@gmail.com, or head on over to facebook.com/launchgrowjoy and let me know how you love the planner, if you've used it before, what you're looking to most get out of it and out of your next year in your business and in your life. So I really hope you get as much out of the planner as I have been doing for the last 2 years, and I cannot wait to hear more about how you're using it and how it's going to inspire you to have an amazing year in 2015. So before I sign off, wanted to thank all of you for being here with me today, for listening to the podcast, for leaving comments, subscribing on iTunes, and being part of the Launch Grow Joy community. I am so honored and grateful to have this community of entrepreneurs like you who are really looking to do or to live a life with passion doing what you love. So I am honored to be here with you today, and thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the show notes. If you have any comments, make sure to leave them or questions for Steve. And otherwise, I will see you next week, and I will also look forward to sharing my video review of Leonie's awesome, awesome planner. So take care, everyone. Have a great day, and I will see you next week. Bye.